I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.
Well, the weather's starting to turn a bit colder around Wisconsin, which means one thing in that kitchen, comfort food.
For our Food Friday segment this week, we're talking to the guys from Wisconsin Foodie about their favorite mac and cheese recipes and some other comfort foods to help us forget about the impending doom of winter.
Joining us now are Arthur Ersing, creator and executive producer of Wisconsin Foodie, and Kyle Cherik, host of Wisconsin Foodie. Hi, guys.
Hello.
So you guys have mac and cheese on your minds. Kyle, tell us what's got you thinking about macaroni and cheese right now.
Oh, well, judging this contest that's coming up, the I guess sort of a smackdown where a myriad of local chefs get to come in with literally no boundaries, as I was reading, and we're going to sample out some mac and cheese and declare the best presented that day. And so I've been holding off on it for about a week, which is hard to do, but you know, you want to have a clean palate or something like that. You never know what the onslaught's going to be.
Oh, I know. And Arthur, you know, what is it about macaroni and cheese, do you think, that makes it such good comfort food, especially now that it's getting a little nippy?
Well, I think, you know, you got to look at the cheese. You got to look at the, you know, just that kind of that texture, the melty, the hearty. It just like reminds us of our childhood and of home and, you know, where else would you rather be on a nice, cool fall day than sitting at home eating some mac and cheese?
The nice thing about mac and cheese is that it's one of these dishes that you can really put your own stamp on. It's sort of a blank slate. You need the noodles. You probably need some kind of cheese, although I've seen vegan versions of it. But beyond that, you can get really kind of creative with it. Kyle, what have you seen done with mac and cheese that gets it kind of jiggy?
Well, my favorite, you know, sort of mac and cheese take me back moment, I actually had the dish. I don't want to disclose where, but it took me back to this great rosemary mac and cheese that The Social, when it was still open here in Milwaukee, this tiny place, and the chef who had trained under Sanford D'Amato, Chris Hattali, made it right there in front of you because it was this super small place. You sat at what was originally the bar, and he grilled it and finished it off right in front of you, and it had this terrific, amazing herbal, slightly smoky, creamy, perfect every time. It was the most sublime mac and cheese I'd ever had to that point in my entire life. And he made it from scratch with the exception of the pasta right there in front of you. And so I guess in my heart and on my palate, I kind of dare anybody whenever they say, oh, I've got great mac and cheese, to get that good, to come to that level.
You will see on September 29th with this the mac and cheese takedown, because I think you'll be sampling over 50 different mac and cheeses. So that may you may find a better mac and cheese out there.
Yeah, use the word sublime. The bar is pretty high there for that one.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, a great dish is a great dish. I don't know what more. We like to write and think about these things, but sometimes it's those opening notes of think of a great Gershwin melody or something like that, where you know it instantly, and more notes or less notes would be too many or not enough. It's just perfect.
So it seems like in general there are two ways you can do mac and cheese, you know, besides all of the variations, but you can do it the saucy way, where it's sort of like your craft, but, you know, you don't have to bake it. And then there's the baked kind.
That's not mac and cheese. I'm sorry.
You're drawing the line right there.
Yeah, that and vegan mac and cheese. I mean, God bless anybody that wants to pursue the lifestyle of being a vegan. I think it's great, but that's not mac and cheese.
Well, do you have a preference as far as baked versus the saucy kind?
Well, naturally saucy. It goes with my personality. Arthur's the real cheese aficionado, though. I want to hear him.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's talk about cheeses, because that's obviously, you know, the first thing you need in a good mac and cheese. Arthur, what do you prefer when it comes to cheeses and mac and cheese?
Well, I think we're pretty blessed here in Wisconsin with having, you know, just the kind of variety and abundance of amazing world quality cheeses right in our back door. So there's one mac and cheese recipe that we had on our show years and years ago with Tori Miller was on, and he was a fresh faced Mohawked younger gentleman, and he was cooking on our show, and he created a double cut pork chop with a mac and cheese, and the mac and cheese was, you know, basically these large shells, and he reduced white wine, and he used you know, almost a whole pack of the cold pack cheese, and then shredded some Car Valley Mammoth cheddar, as well as some Blue Mont Dairy bandage cheddar into the mac and cheese. Now that, like, you know, not everybody, there's nobody in the world that can mimic that those types of cheeses in this mac and cheese. And that makes that dish one of my favorite mac and cheeses out there. And we have, you know, what I'm going to do is I went back into our vault of videos and I found the video and I'm going to post it on the front page of our website. So if people are interested in seeing how he makes his mac and cheese, they can check that recipe out on our website.
That's so interesting.
For the record, if I had could try that, that might usurp the old social mac and cheese, but I wasn't lucky enough to have that. I'll have to talk to Tori about that.
But instead of baking it, you know, it's kind of saucy. Instead of baking it, though, he throws some toasted panko breadcrumbs on the top, so it has that kind of crunchy, you know, texture to it.
I like that he added the cold-packed cheese with these very high-end cheeses, bandage cheddar and mammoth cheddar.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really a mixture of things. So what did that do to the taste? I'm curious.
Oh, I mean, it's, you know, it's hard to explain. It's basically, you know, like eating happiness.
That doesn't sound bad at all.
It's curious how some of the most basic peasant dishes, for lack of a better term, can be innovated into something that's really, really dynamic at the hands of a great chef. You know, I mean, Kraft just brings it down way too many levels, but the original mac and cheese is a very simple dish. But then at the hands of Tori, he knows what to do with it. You take it to a different level, but it's still a peasant dish, essentially.
Well, so now is the time of year when root veggies are starting to be more abundant, things like squash. Do you think those lend themselves well to mac and cheese, Kyle?
I do. They're kind of, for me, it's a textural thing. I mean, I'm a big roaster of all of those root vegetables and the squashes and things like that. Basically, that takes over for all the green things that are so abundant from our garden in the summer. But I probably wouldn't put the two next to each other, essentially. If I was doing mac and cheese at home, we'll do a protein or something a little bit more rustic to stand up against that creaminess.
Such as? Like a bacon or
ham? No, I would. Everyone that's been following me lately knows that I'm huge on lamb and or a pork roast or a great lamb chop. Pork chop cut or a lamb chop. And you know the thing about fall cooking that I always have to guard against is having something. This sounds funny, but that I can really chew, because between the mac and cheeses and the amazing stews and all of those things that you roast to get all the goodness and so forth out of them, it softens them down like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I find myself by November basically just craving some really crunchy bread.
So you want something with a little tooth in it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. One of my favorite things in the fall, actually, is this great dessert that George Washington, apparently I found online, really loved, which is using a pie pumpkin and scooping it out and then putting in a very simple custard recipe inside. And my sister-in-law actually made it for Thanksgiving a couple of years ago. And you put the whole thing in the oven for like 4 or 5 hours, and it slowly roasts and the two come together. And it is one of the most delicious, incredible. And then you just carve right into it and serve the custard out. It's so amazing.
Oh, that doesn't sound like so you turn away at your dinner table. That sounds fantastic. I've had custards baked in the miniature pumpkins, and they're pretty great vessels just for that kind of thing, too. Well, as we get toward the end of our time together, what other fall comfort foods, Arthur, are you getting psyched about right now?
I'm just excited about, you know, this is, you know, being a vegetarian, this is like the glory time right now at the farmer's markets. You have, you know, the tomatoes are there. Everything is kind of just total abundance. So where I've been going lately, what I've been really trying to master is canning all this great food. You know, we take part in a CSA here in Springdale Farms, and we get, you know, a box of vegetables each week. And it's just, you know, I want to try to, you know, take all of that great fresh food and the stuff that I can't eat that whole week or my family can't eat, I'm trying to figure out how to preserve it. So I've been making tomato sauces, salsas, and, you know, just trying to keep that stuff. So in the middle of winter, I can, you know, still be eating delicious local food. That's, if not total fresh, it's pretty close.
And Kyle, in the last 30 seconds here, what about you? What are you looking forward to besides mac and cheese?
Oh, that's so hard. The menu flips that happen. I totally agree with Arthur. Any chef can cook fabulous things during the summer, some salt and butter, and great things are coming out of the ground. In fall, when the menu flips happen and the vegetables change and the proteins really come into their own, I do food tourism in a different way around the state, because what that's, I think that, and in spring is when the chefs get most creative, and it's just exciting to have summer dishes.
Well, Kyle, thank you so much for joining us today.
Happily.
And Arthur, good to have you here.
Thank you very much.
We were talking to Arthur Ersin, creator and executive producer of Wisconsin Foodie, and Kyle Cherik, the host of Wisconsin Foodie.
Coming up Monday on Central Time, we'll talk about how scarcity and the way we respond to it shapes our lives, our society, and our culture.
We'll also talk about the history of what's often called the most important meal of the day, breakfast.
And we'll talk about how a lot of us can be citizen scientists. We can help wildlife experts keep track of animal populations around Wisconsin.
That's all coming up Monday, right here on Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.